the, there are certain things which Chazal say about Amoras. And the question is whether we have that kind of Amoras today. The Amoras which the Gemara is referring to, there are different grades of Amoras, as the Mefarshim say, in Pesach Medav Mem Tes, Amid Beis, the Rif speaks about that, over there. But the Pashas Amoras that we're talking about is someone who doesn't know anything. So is there a Yid today that doesn't know anything? I mean, he doesn't know that there's a mitzvah to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't know there's a mitzvah of Av Aminim on Sukkos. Most of the people today know the basics of Yiddishkeit, and I don't think they would consider Amoras. So he's not a preferred person to daven in front of the Amid. The Shulchan Aruch discusses at length, I think maybe it's in Nun Hei, who should be the Shliach Tzibur. Really, the Shulchan Aruch is talking if you want to appoint a Shliach Tzibur. In many shuls used to be someone used to be paid. That was his job, to be the Shliach Tzibur, daven in front of the Amid, because either the people didn't know how to daven in front of the Amid, or they didn't want to daven in front of the Amid. So they paid someone that did, that was his job. So there the Shulchan Aruch says you should not be a young bacha. It should be someone who's as small as Zikna. That means he has to be at least 18 years old. He should be married, l'chad chila. And preferably, you should be not just a newly married person, but they should be someone who is well versed in the Tanakh, because the psukim that come up in the davening all the time. So you should be well versed in what they mean. You should know what the tefillos are about, and of course, you have to know the Perush HaMilos. And various other criteria which the Shulchan Aruch points out for Shliach Tzibur.
What if he doesn't read the Ivri clearly?
You know,
doesn't pronounce the words clearly for the people to be able to not hear it properly.
There was a someone asked Reb Chaim Riska Shaila that they have a choice whether they should take a bacha. It was bar mitzvah. I mean, he was maybe 15, 16 years old. He had a beautiful voice. Should take him for a shliach tzibur, but he wasn't especially from person. I mean, he kept Shabbos and kept maybe what he knew, but he was not especially a doctor of mitzvahs. Or they should take someone who's a very elchayid, and he's married, he's the right age, the shliach tzibur should be, he has children, which is one of the things they should have. And but the problem is, he doesn't have any voice. So sure, which one should you take? So Reb Chaim said that the whole chocolate taria over here, what should be the achievements of a shliach tzibur, either the most elcha person you can find, you should use for shliach tzibur. And he has to be married, and he has to be this and this, he has to have children, things like that. That's only if he's a chazan. If he's not a chazan, so then he doesn't even go into the picture. So you should take one who is a chazan, not the person who doesn't know how to talk. If he doesn't know how to pronounce the words, he should not be a chazan. Not only that, but Rav Henkin says that if someone is an oval and he wants to dive in front of the Amid, but he's not a doctor of mitzvahs. He doesn't really know where to stop. He said he should not daven in front of the Amid. He said it's not a covet for his parents that he should daven in front of the Amid. He's doing bigger covet for his parents if he doesn't daven in front of the Amid. So he should not daven.
Yeah, there was someone who used to be in the Kollel over here, Mamashia and Eloy, but the But he didn't have that much of a voice, and he happened to have a urethite one time on a Friday night. So he went to go towards the Yomim to take the talis, and Rosh Yeshiva looked at him, and so he told her, and Rosh Yeshiva asked him, "How has your urethite?" So he says, "Yeah." And so he asked Rosh Yeshiva, "Zolich davening for the Yomim?" So the Rosh Yeshiva said, "Echalta is better than it. You know, it's better not because he didn't have such a good voice." So he went and gave it to someone else.
Okay, very good. Good for him. Now, the Chasam Sofer says a very interesting thing. You know, there are kedimas to the Amid, which is spoken about in Shochanah. Someone has a yahrzeit, and the other one is a oval tefillah beis chodesh. So the yahrzeit has kedima. If someone's in shloshim and someone's not in shloshim, the ben shloshim has kedima. So he says, what happens if the one who's not supposed to have the kedima went and just went and took over the amid, didn't ask any questions? So the Chasam Sofer says that the schus of the tefillah goes to the one who was supposed to get davened, not the one who actually davened. So therefore, he doesn't actually gain anything by forcing his way to the davened. He's just giving the schus to the one who was supposed to get it.
Why
is that?
Why is that? Is there like a designated time for that?
Pardon?
Does something give a reason for why that works? The first person gets a schus, the person that deserves the kedima gets a schus?
If you steal something and you give it tzedakah, who gets the schus? The one from whom the money was stolen, or the one who gave the money?
The one that gave the money.
No, the one who gave the money. Hakadosh Baruch Hu signed a gezel. So you can't. It's himself all aware of him. But the Gemara says, if you lose money and only finds it, so you get a bracha for it. Rashi brings in the Chumash that you get a bracha because it was your money that helped the Zani. So in other words, you don't necessarily have to do the Maisa. You just have to, some Sofer says, you have to if you have the rights to do it, so it'll be a schus for the parent. No matter who, if someone else steals it from you, he's not going to get the source. Does shackling during Shemoneh Esrei present a problem of extra ishtachavos by the psichas and chazimas of the middle brachas? I believe that when a person does bow down, he bows down lower than when he's shackling, and so therefore you can be mekel. Now, there's two ways to shackle. Either you shackle back and forth, or you shackle from side to side. I think that you could be used to shackling if you go from side to side also. And then there's no problem of having a bang down.
Didn't Rabbi say that Rabbi Aaron Cutler said that you should go both ways like this, because the one that says one way means you shouldn't go the other way. So that's why you'd be making both sheets by going.
He did both, yes. Is it better to stand still when davening? Well, it's mashma, I think it's Nazaya, that there's an inyan to shakel, but the whole inyan to shakel is only by psuk de zimra. Kolatz moisai tamarna Hashem yikamaycha. Well, my bones say it. How do the bones say it? So you move the bones, and that's how it is. That's where it comes from that pasuk. So really, it's only by pasuk de zimra, by the rest of the davening, it doesn't really apply. But once you get in the habit of shackling, you don't usually stop. By the time you get to Shemoneh Esrei, and even when you get to mincha, you shackle by Ashrei, so they keep on doing.
Don't we say micha mocha during Shemoneh Esrei?
Yes, so what does that
have? Pasuk says micha mocha.
So what does that have to do with the price of fish? What are you asking?
I mean, the Pasuk says kolatz mosai tamarna micha mocha. And by Shemoneh Esrei we say micha mocha.
Okay, but we don't say kolatz mosai tamarna.